answer to your problem. Before you get down to clean out the stove, put a pillow down there. And when you can't get up, just take a nap.
Amen.
Isabel's probably saying, keep your mouth shut. Don't you tell me. And Tammy, by the way, you don't have a dog, do you?
No, but I'm going to get one. That's the beauty of her.
We will loan you ours. There's some times I'd give them away for a nickel. But I was just thinking, in fact, there's an out for us, for Sam. So he'd have a ball with all those dogs there. But they would throw you and that dog out in a heartbeat. He would not stop barking all day long. He is not a fun dog. He wants what he wants when he wants it. He knows how to tell you exactly when he wants it too. Yeah, he's a bossy dog. Man. My wife, she failed raising that dog. I'll tell you that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, my pillow's already on the floor. It's right down there, so. Anyway, Psalm 55 tonight. This is message number 3 back there, Al. Being an Overcomer, Part 3. And the question I have as we begin tonight is, have you ever felt like some days you could take up living in a lighthouse somewhere, far off from shore, far from life, far from the drama of people? Wouldn't it be nice just to be able to get away? Now, I suppose many of us have had those days that we would simply like to just pamper ourselves, indulge our whims, and think of ourselves for a change than have to be thinking of someone else or other things. Well, our text tonight appears to be exactly what David is wishing for in Psalm 55. Now, folks, he has been on the run from King Saul. He has, with his men, delivered Keilah from the Philistines. And they plan in turn to turn David's whereabouts over to King Saul so King Saul can hedge him in and capture David and kill him for no absolute reason whatsoever other than the fact that King Saul was extremely jealous. And a nutcase to it. That kind of helps a little bit. But not one... What am I going to say here? And not one of them was willing to show any appreciation. So in life, we need to overcome our fleshly responses and our desires and replace them with spiritual responses or spiritual overcoming of our life's negative issues. And there are going to be negative issues coming, whether it's dealing with pronouns that you never had to deal with, I wonder where the English teachers are. Why aren't they screaming and yelling about a proper use of a proper noun or a pronoun, I should say? But it's amazing how quickly people can change. I mean, all those years that we had to learn the proper pronouns, now it's irrelevant at this particular point in time. So it kind of makes you wonder that as you continue to go through the public school system, everything you've learned one day is just going to be irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's not going to amount to much of anything anyway. But anyway, David has shown a couple of things that we looked at in point number one. It was that making sure anger doesn't rule our responses. You and I both know that we have done things or said things in anger that we wish we had not and we could wish we could take them back. Now, there may be some times we said that we were angry, we did things, and we said, I'm glad I did that. Well, now as a child of God, you look back and say, well, maybe I really shouldn't have done it that way. I shouldn't have handled it that way, whatever it comes along the line. But the point is that making sure anger doesn't rule our responses by responding in prayer. It's hard to be really super angry at somebody if you're praying for their salvation. Amen? I mean, it really is. Or if someone has done you wrong, being able to pray for that person to understand, but not really confronting them on a, unless it's an absolute necessity because of some sort of a peril, some sort of a danger. So making sure anger doesn't rule our responses by responding in prayer for the event or the persons that are involved should be our first reaction. We saw in Psalm 55 verses 1 through 3, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Now, we said this is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 23. And coming from 1 Samuel chapter 23, in response to the incident that was down there at Keilah. Now, verse 2 says, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. And then number 2, he said, refusing to quit by doing the right thing. We refuse to quit, throw in the towel, but rather we choose to do the thing that is right, being strong in the Lord, because He is always on the side of those who live by faith. His eyes are constantly searching for those who are righteous, and He will act on our behalf. Now, He may not do it exactly in the way that we might have thought, or might not even happen in the time that we thought it might happen. And it might be a week, a day, a month, or two, or a year. It might even be a couple years down the road. You never know. But when we do the thing that's right, it doesn't matter, because we can move forward and we don't have to think. When Peg and I back in the '60s, early 70s, when Bill Gothard, not Bill Gaither, by the way, Bill Gothard was running, he had an organization called Institute, Basic Institute of Youth, something like that. I can't remember what the title. Youth Conflicts is what it was. And so we went to that for a whole week through our church down here in central Philadelphia. And one of the things that we learned is, and I forgot what I was going to say now in that particular area. So to tie up another one there. Okay. The idea is that a clear conscience. And the Apostle Paul makes mention of that in the book of Acts, that he had always a clear conscience between himself and between man and God. And so through Basic Institute of Youth Conflicts there, we learned at least this little ditty. I did a whole lot of things we learned, which was a big impact on our lives. But the idea was, if you want to maintain a clear conscience, is to make sure that when you're standing in front of people, there's no one sitting out there who can accuse you of wrongs done that you never made right. And so it is a matter of whether you are justified or whether you are right in a response that you've got. Handle it in a biblical fashion. And if they didn't respond in a biblical fashion, you know you did the right thing. And so as you're looking out there and you look at that, and, oh, man, that person, I never did this. I never made that right. And so, you know, it can really cause a problem when you're trying to preach or teach or share something along the line there by a Bible principle. So anyway, it says Psalm 55 and verses 4 through 5 says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. There are things that we may face that may cause us to want to quit, whether it's a job or whether it's something that you're involved in. You just want to quit and throw in the towel because any number of reasons. There's fear in your own heart, like Tammy was saying, that fear in your own going for the interview. And once you're settled into a job, you kind of know the job, you know the routine. You may not like everything about the job, but it's kind of like an old pair of shoes. It fits. It's comfortable to a degree. And then you're going to go someplace else. I always hated that because that meant I had to learn all about their computer run schedules and all about all the computer input and runs. So it was a very slow learning process until finally you knew exactly what tapes and what disks and what programs and what data you needed to have. And you can just kind of go through all that stuff there. And it was always a nuisance to try to acclimate to a new job and new situations there. But the idea is that rather than throwing in a towel and quitting, and this is really on spiritual issues, like you could say the same thing in marriage, rather than throwing in the towel on a marriage, Work it through if you can. Now, sometimes you can't because the other individual involved in the marriage, boy, they can just be as indignant as impossible. They don't want to work with you one way or the other, even though you would rather do that. I understand that. But if they're willing to work through, then stay with them and work through that particular set of circumstances. And it's amazing what you can learn in the stick-to-itiveness and the appreciation for each other as you begin to learn some new things and how to handle problems. And so rather than quit, just keep on being there, doing the right thing. Now, tonight, number three, and very quickly, selfishness is conquered by helping others. Selfishness is conquered by helping others. Psalm 55, verses 6 through 8. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Basically, I deserve our words that we use when we are putting self first in our lives. There are those times in our lives when we need a quiet place, amen? A vacation, or perhaps a nap, a day nap, if you will, to recharge our life batteries. But the idea here is to not live a life that is selfish. In other words, I want to get away from all of this. I want to hide someplace in the corner. I don't want anybody to bother me for the rest of my life, whatever it is. You just want to escape from life in general. Now, David's expressing the fact he said, I want done with this. I want away from this. I'm tired of being on the run. I'm tired of sleeping in a cave. I'm tired of sleeping under the stars. Any number of things. I'm tired of having to try to find out where King Saul is and hide from him and take care of these 600 men who really aren't some of the most desirable men to be around. And so he's expressing his desire that he wants to be done with this and he wants to be able to move on with his life. And so the idea here is to not live a life that is selfish. This is a spiritual perspective. Not to live a life that is selfish, a self-centered life as somehow being the norm. And here David is tired. I mean, he's probably bone tired, looking out for self, preservation of himself, looking out for his men, even taking on the care of the people of, like in the town of Keilah, who lack the ability to show any kind of gratitude whatsoever. And so David expresses his heart's desire to flee. To get away, to find some place just to be alone, live out the rest of his life in peace. The ability just disappeared to find a place of solitude. Now, he has been a warrior for years. He has been in battles after battles. Fighting a foreign enemy was taking a toll on David. And now having to fight an enemy from within, that's even harder. And it was taking an even greater toll on David, knowing that his own countrymen, even after he had helped them, would actually turn him over to his enemy, his foe, King Saul. Emotional struggles seem to take a great toll on us. And I know that, and I'm sure you've experienced the same. So emotional struggles seem to take a great toll on us, even sometimes more than the physical struggles. And there's the difference, because when you have physical stress, you can go lay down somewhere. You can take a nap and rest and go to sleep at nighttime and wake up refreshed in the morning. If you've had a hard day, an arduous day, a very taxing day, you go to bed at nighttime and you put your head in the pillow and you're gone. And you wake up in the morning and you feel so refreshed. But you can't always get away from those emotionals. Because a lot of times emotional problems are still there when you get up in the morning. And it takes a tremendous amount of being alone with the Lord to sometimes get the rest and the peace that we need with the mental things that we deal with on a regular basis in our lives. So physical struggles can be quickly abated with proper sleep, proper diets. But not so much for our emotional struggles. They tend to dog us. So David so much longed for peace. And even the day seemed to bring every or should say, even greater challenges and even greater struggles. Probably thought to himself, when will this ever end? How many of us thought it will it ever end? But finally our children grew up. And they left the nest. And we threw a party for ourselves. Amen? It's not that we don't miss them. We're just glad to have our space back. Amen? It's nice to be able to do what you want to do when you want to do it. And not have to worry about all the children, all the little ones running around. And so, what are we to do when we are tempted to respond to life struggles in a purely selfish manner about forget about everybody else, but let's just walk away? Well, as a mom and a dad, you can't do that when you have children. You'd like to just maybe take a vacation and leave them home. Well, since the invention of Velcro, you could do that. Right? You could leave them there, just kind of leave a little bit of water and some food in reach, and they'll be fine. But we know that as parents, we could not do that. But we did long for that day when we could be able to just say, you know what, let's say we go out to dinner today. Not have to sneak a pizza through the back window. So, here's what we need to do. First of all, we've got to take our eyes off of self. And allow ourselves and the Spirit of God to refocus us on the needs and the hurts of others. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will what? I'll give you rest. Taking our eyes off ourselves, putting our eyes on the Lord, He will guide us. He will direct us in ways to be able to handle all of these things that seem to be overwhelming us, if you will. So think for a moment. It isn't a lighthouse far away that we need, or a secluded vacation that is our answer, as nice as they are. Jesus is the person. He is the place. He is the harbor that we need to find the rest, the peace to our soul that we need. Too often we hang on to the problems as if we were the ones who have to solve it. And we really don't take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help here. Lord, I'm falling apart. Lord, I'm really overwhelmed. I know you probably have felt that. You just come to a place where you just feel so overwhelmed, I don't know what to do next. And that's when just being quiet before the Lord, speaking to Him, allowing Him to speak to us through the Word and through the Holy Spirit of God. And it's like that haven of rest, that song that we sing. Also, consider this. If David were to act upon the present desires of his heart, what would happen to his loyal followers, those who supported him? Without his leadership, would they fall? Would they fail? He was an integral part of the leadership. They followed David because they knew that, first of all, he was a man of God. And they knew that he was a praying man of God. I'm not saying he did everything right. But for the most part, he did. And they knew that the hand of God was upon him. And that's when you follow a man. That's why wives don't have a problem following husbands when their husbands, they know their husbands are a man of God. And that their husbands are a praying man of God. That's so important. Amen? So, what of his family? Who would take care of them in his absence? Would King Saul find them and kill them? I mean, we know that he took his father and his mother and his brothers and he put them in a place secluded where King Saul wouldn't find him, for he knew that somehow they would go and they would take his father and his mother and try to take his brothers and use them as a bartering tool for him to give himself up. So, the concern for the welfare of friends and family that moved David to stay, moved him to be steadfast and fight, though he had rather just walked away from the overall mess he would have done. But as we close, remembering Psalm 56 and verse 3, which we'll probably touch here in about another year or two. There we were going. Psalm 56 and verse 3 says, what time I am afraid, I will what? I'll trust in thee. And sometimes being overwhelmed, it brings a fear. Who's going to fill in? Who's going to take over? Well, it may well be that God wants you to stay right where you are and to allow Him to become your haven of rest. But stay and you fight the good fight until God chooses otherwise. Amen? And so that's the third point that we can learn from Psalm 55. Amen? All right. Papers are falling all over the place up here. So our prayer things here tonight. Pam, we had a good trip down. You didn't get a prayer card there. Stay where Jack will get you one there for sure. I had one here. What I do with it. Yeah, I better take one. I had one there. I thought I had one. But anyway, she had a seemingly good visit. She was pretty exhausted when she got home. I'm not sure exactly what the test results are, but we'll just keep her before the Lord in prayer tonight that the doctors will discover whatever they need to discover so they can correct it and that she can go on. Continue to pray for Brooke Ann. Can't pronounce, I know her husband's name, Celia. It's S-E-L-L-E. And so remember them in prayer as they now have them in their own care. And they're still tiny little ones. Lovely tiny little. You can use doll clothes to dress them for sure. But they're doing well, so continue to pray for them. Appreciate that ever so much. I don't think I put anything else here. I talked with Tom the other day. He is in physical therapy twice a week. He has had to give up his barefoot water skiing until his shoulder heals. But he said that they believe that they'll be able to get it back to where he could probably go back to that again. But so continue to pray for him as he goes through the physical therapy, that God will work a wonderful thing there. And Vicki has a hip surgery coming up on the 21st, so just pray that she'll be in good health. Someone else has something else going on the 21st. Lori Tall. Cataract surgery. Okay, so I've got to remember to put that down here so I don't forget that. What'd you say? Yep, so that's a praise to the Lord, by the way. Did I have him down here? Yep, I do. I forgot him. Okay, forgot to take that off. So that just mark that as a praise tonight. They put a tube in, got it lung operating right, and then took the tube out and collapsed again. So they had to go a little bit deeper. I forget whatever the process they had to do, there was a lot more involved. So he was in there for a week. So, yeah, give the Lord the glory for that and that. God will speak to his heart. Angie's a good witness to both her brothers, David and Larry, and that at some point that her testimony is going to break through, and they'll get in the church. I think he does go to church someplace up in Jericho, but he needs to get into a good church. Amen. I know one. I know a good church. It may not be a big church. It may not be an overwhelming church, but anyway. Any other prayer requests real quickly here? Karen Doolin?
So I'm going to go to Kendra Prowler in Bristol on Friday. My uncle fell, I guess, and broke his leg.
Okay.
But God gives me the right word to say. And
yes. Yep. I saw another hand today. No other hand. All right. Brother Steve, you and Allison, group number one. Carrie, you're all by your lonesome. No, you and Karen doing. Well, you and Karen, would you handle the pregnancies and the spiritual growths? We'd appreciate that. Clark and Isabel, how about group number two? Let's just put that in half. Pete and Chris, would you do the salvations? Would you pray for the salvations here? And then missionaries of the month, who do we not get? Chris and Jack. Would you do missionaries of the month? And I'm going to get with Burton. Did I miss any? Have I missed anybody? Burton and I, and we're going to go back and sit with Al back there, and we're going to do the Calvary staff. And Pete and Chris, would you add to that the Vermont pastors? Pray for me. We really desperately need these churches to be filled with some really good godly men. All right.